his 3-year ministry was dedicated to training 12 men to set the world on fire with the gospel, of which 11 of them did.
Right. Yeah.
And so here in Matthew chapter 28 is really where the commission was given. We're going to look in verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us tonight to open it, to learn from it.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray that you would please help me to accurately relay your message to your people. And Lord, help us to leave differently than we came, especially on this subject in the Great Commission. Lord, I pray that you would just bless tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
After Jesus rose from the dead, he met with the 11 and gave them the Great Commission and gave it to us as well.
Amen.
He could have constructed any plan he wanted to. In fact, when you look at verse 18, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and the earth.
Right.
He could have made any type of plan to bring people to salvation. He did not have to use you and me.
Right.
Nor the 11 disciples. Mm. But he chose to do that. Those disciples were uneducated and quite rough around the edges.
Amen.
Jesus didn't select the highly educated Pharisees nor the wealthy to fulfill his plan. Instead, he chose to use a rough group of men with issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does anybody in here have a doctorate degree? None of us. Okay. Okay. Awesome. Anyone in here have a net worth of $1 billion? Okay, I didn't think so. Anybody in here have issues? That means God has chosen us.
Right.
Because none of us are wealthy. Only one of us has a doctorate degree. And God is using her.
Amen.
Ms. Sharon. But God likes to use the simple. He likes to use people that have issues.
Amen.
So if you have issues, that puts you right in the perfect category for God to use.
Yes, amen.
Never look at other people whom you feel are more capable, maybe smarter, or whatever than you are, and think, well, God can't use me because I can't sing like they do. I can't do what they do. But God can use you, and He wants to.
Amen.
That is His plan.
Yeah.
Most of the disciples were fishermen. I used to think that what I do was the most dangerous job. Tree work. Because it is dangerous.
Yeah.
So I looked into it one time and I was mistaken. It's not the most dangerous job. The most dangerous occupation in the world is deep sea fishing.
Yeah.
which is exactly what the disciples did. I somehow feel like he did choose people with issues, but he chose some people that had some tenacity.
Yeah, that's good.
In Matthew chapter 4, if you want to turn there, I want you to see something. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. This is at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He has not yet chosen the 12 disciples yet. Here in verse 18 it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." We all know that Peter became the pioneer of the church age. Along with Paul, they kind of had two separate duties, so to speak. But what about Andrew? You don't really hear much more talked about him in the Bible. But in John chapter 1, if you want to turn there, this is a similar account of the beginning of Andrew and Peter following Jesus. In verse 35, John chapter 1, verse 35, the Bible says, "And again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ.
Amen.
And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation, a stone. Peter came to Jesus because of Andrew.
Right.
Anybody know what... I just lost the term. Network marketing is all about. You bring someone in underneath you to sell the same product that you're selling. And then you bring in someone else underneath you. And once you get X number of people underneath you, you move up to the next level. Everybody that's underneath you that's selling this product, you get a fraction of what they sell. Every time they sell something, you get a little bit of benefit from that, which encourages you to then go out and get some more people underneath you. And the more people you get underneath you, the more residual income you receive from it. God created the best network marketing system of all time. Mm-hmm. Because when you or I lead somebody to the Lord, the Bible says we're going to receive a reward for that. Mm. And then when that person leads somebody to the Lord, we're also going to receive a reward for that. And then when those two people lead somebody else to the Lord, we're going to receive a reward for that also. And it just keeps stacking. I wonder what kind of reward Andrew is going to receive.
Amen.
He's not talked about a whole lot in Scripture. We don't really know how many people other than Peter that he led to the Lord. But he led Peter straight to Jesus.
Amen.
That's right.
You or I may never spark and lead a great revival that sweeps across our nation. But neither did Ed Kimball. Anybody know who he is?
Yeah.
Who is he?
He's the one that led Moody to Christ.
Ed Kimball was the Sunday school teacher of D.L. Moody. He led him to the Lord. I wonder what kind of rewards Ed Kimball will receive in heaven. You never know who God is going to put in your path that needs Jesus.
Amen.
You or I, again, may not ever lead a great revival. That may not be God's plan. But it may be that He leads you or I to talk to that person who will.
Amen.
I don't know if y'all remember, I showed this video. It was a more of an audio, not really a video, of a little old man in Australia who God convicted to pass out tracts, I think to 10 people a day. And he did for years. How many of you remember this audio?
On George Street.
On George Street.
Amen.
What was the name of the city? Starts with an S.
Sydney.
Sydney, Australia. And this particular preacher was preaching on the Great Commission. And somebody raised their hand. He asked for people to raise their hand and tell how they got saved, and this person raised their hand and said, "Yeah, I was in Sydney, Australia one day, and I was walking down George Street, and this little old man stepped out and quickly handed me this pamphlet and said, 'Do you know if you're headed for heaven or not? Read this.' And I did, and I got saved. And then somebody else stepped up and said, that same guy gave me a tract also, and I got saved because of it." This preacher traveled in several different places all over the country only to find some people in those same places that also received a tract from the hand of that same man.
That's right.
Hundreds and thousands of people are getting saved because of what that man has done. So this preacher decided he wanted to meet this man, and he did. He wasn't passing out tracts anymore. He was too old and frail to make it outside. But he met him, and he told him of all these different people that had gotten saved because of the tracts that he had handed to them. And he said, "For the past 15 years, God has convicted me pass out 10 tracts every day, and I've never heard of anyone
being saved."
Getting saved. But he was committed. He's going to have some great reward in heaven.
Amen, brother.
But he never knew of anyone that had actually accepted Christ because of the tracts that he had handed out. That ought to give us some encouragement.
Amen.
We've passed out thousands of tracts.
Yes, sir.
Here in Arlington.
Yes, sir.
And quite honestly, we've not seen a whole lot of fruit either yet.
Amen.
But we will.
Yes, amen.
You will.
Amen.
One day.
Yes.
The commandment that Jesus gave in Matthew 28, 19 and 20 is simple. Go, tell, and disciple. We call it the Great Commission. But really, it's not that great to us. If it was, there would be more people being baptized.
Yes, that's right. Come on.
What's our hang up? Why don't we talk to more people about Jesus than we do? 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 4:3 says this. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost.
Right.
In other words, when we're quiet about the gospel, when we ought to be speaking about the gospel, the people who are affected are the people who are lost. Maybe we just don't really believe that judgment day is coming. Maybe we don't believe that we're going to be held accountable for those opportunities that God put in front of us. But it doesn't stop there. After we lead somebody to Christ, there's more to do. We must disciple them. Verse 20 of Matthew chapter 18 says, or 28 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you.
Right.
Tell them what I tell you. Teach them to do what I've taught you to do. Who are you discipling right now? It may very well be that even as we speak, that what's on your mind is work tomorrow. The problems that you have to face there. The problems you have to face when you get home. The financial problems that you're in the middle of. Or maybe some purchase of something else. I don't know. But we ought to be discipling somebody.
Yes, amen.
And it doesn't have to be someone that you led to Christ. It could be a fellow Christian at work.
That's true, amen.
It could be your children.
Yes, sir.
It ought to be your children.
Amen.
It could be your grandchildren.
Yeah.
But you ought to be discipling somebody right now. Who is it? By the way, discipling will not happen on accident. You must be deliberate and intentional if you're going to disciple somebody. You also have to be deliberate and intentional if you're going to tell somebody about Jesus.
Yeah. Right.
You have to think about it. You have to come up with some way to break the ice. It's not easy. It's not easy because the devil wants us to think that they don't want to hear it. The devil wants us to feel inadequate. He wants us to feel awkward. How's he doing with that? So if we're going to be a witness, and if we're going to disciple, we have to do it on purpose. So who is it in your circle that you ought to be telling about Jesus or discipling that you're not yet? How do we disciple someone? I think the first thing that we ought to do is pray that God will point that person out to you. And I believe that if you pray that, that He will, because He wants you to do that worse than you do.
Amen.
You can share with that person that you're going to disciple what God has shown you recently. Maybe that's why we don't disciple. Because He hasn't shown us anything, because we're not listening. But if He has shown you something, spread it.
Amen.
Go to somebody, another Christian, that's in your circle, and share it with them. It'll encourage them. Then ask them to share with you what God has shown them. Brother Bruce, isn't that being nosy? No, it's not being nosy. It's discipling. Sometimes when you're discipling somebody, you're going to have to get in their business.
Yeah.
That's what being accountable is all about. In fact, I think we try to steer away from that too much. That thing of being accountable. We don't want people in our business. We want to do what we're doing without anybody saying, "Hey, what do you think you're doing? You ought not to be doing that. That's not pleasing to God." We don't want people doing that, sadly. But we need it.
Yeah.
Exhort that person that you are wanting to disciple. Exhort. You know what exhort means? That's more than encourage. What exhort means to strongly encourage someone to do what God has told them to do. Strongly. I mean, I don't know if you need to get them by the hair of the head. Maybe not. Maybe just by the arm. Shake them a little bit. Maybe not. But strongly encourage them. Ask them, "Hey, are you reading your Bible? What'd you get out of it this morning? Tell me about it. How does it apply to you?" "Well, I don't know." "What do you mean you don't know? What do you read your Bible for?" "Because I'm supposed to read my Bible, ain't I?" "Yeah, but you're supposed to learn from it. God put it there so that we can learn about Him and find out what He wants us to do. So what is it that He wants you to do that He has showed you?" "I don't know." Challenge them also to share Jesus with someone.
Amen.
That's how we disciple people. We got to get in their business. And we got to do it on purpose. And we have to exhort them. We have to encourage them. Yes, we're followers of Jesus, everybody in here. But it's evident that we're following from a distance. Because of the lack of fruit that we have. I want to encourage all of us tonight to renew the Great Commission as the Great Commission.
That's good.
Get some tracts. We have plenty of them. Take them with you. Keep them with you. Keep them in your vehicle. Keep them in your purse. Keep them in your pocket. Have them readily available.
Amen.
Pass them out.
Amen.
Talk to people. Ask somebody tomorrow, who is Jesus to you? Are you right with God? What would you say to God if you were to die today and stand before Him and He said, why should I let you into heaven? Ask people questions that will cause them to consider their eternity. No, they're not going to slap you when you do that. They're probably not going to scream at you. They may get saved. And then when they do, disciple them. Go back to them. Encourage them. Exhort them. Ask them what God's doing in their life. Disciple them. We're not doing that. We're just not. Not like we ought to. And it is the Great Commission. Let's make it great again. Let's get back into discipling somebody. I challenge you to picture somebody in your mind right now that's in your circle that you ought to be discipling or that you need to tell about Jesus. And let's get started with this week. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray that You would forgive me for failing to be the witness that I ought to be and discipling others like I should. Lord, I pray that You would forgive me, forgive us. Lord, help us to do what You've commanded us to do. I thank You for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, turn to 2:6.